Under the Republican-backed health care plan passed by the U.S. House earlier this month, the federal Medicaid program would undergo a major overhaul. States would receive a fixed amount of money for the program versus the open-ended federal support they now get. Supporters of the American Health Care Act say that change would control spending and give states more flexibility, but opponents say it will result in cuts to care. Whose health is at stake with these changes? Patty White reports.
In terms of sheer numbers, low-income children and adults account for most of the people enrolled in Medicaid. But that's not where most of the program's costs go to. They go to people like Evan Klein of Fairfield.
Evan, let's see, loves music. He's my concert buddy. He's seen Miranda Lambert and Dierks Bentley and Toby Keith and the Dixie Chicks. He was a Make-A-Wish child in 2000.
Deborah Klein is Evan's mom. When Evan was born 26 years ago, he experienced birth trauma.
I had a very difficult labor and delivery with him, and he was deprived of oxygen anywhere between 5 to 8 minutes, which is quite a lot. And as a result, he has cerebral palsy.
That's Evan's umbrella diagnosis. He also has microcephaly and severe epilepsy. He breathes through a tracheostomy and eats through a feeding tube. He can't speak or move on his own except to smile or raise his hand to answer yes to a question. That's how he communicated to ultimately graduate from high school.
He requires one-on-one total care, 24/7, 365 days a year.
Nurses care for Evan during the week, which allows Deborah Klein to go to work. That care, long-term care, is provided by Medicaid. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, people with disabilities and seniors make up a minority of Medicaid enrollees, about a quarter. But their care accounts for the majority of the program's spending, 64%. The proposed changes to Medicaid under the GOP replacement bill threaten this kind of support, says Ann Woolison, a policy analyst at Maine Equal Justice Partners, because Medicaid would change to a per capita cap program or block grant, which would limit federal reimbursement.
It is probably the least understood and probably one of the most financially damaging to states.
Currently, the federal government has an open-ended commitment to chip in on state spending on Medicaid, no matter how it fluctuates. But the block grant, or per capita cap, would allocate a set amount of money, which Woolison says will leave states shortchanged.
Health care costs continue to grow. So if all of a sudden we're saying we're only going to give you the amount for every person that we were paying you for the year 2016, which is what this new plan says, it means the state's going to have less money to provide services, necessary health care services, primarily to the elderly and disabled.
So most of the rooms in the facility are semi-private rooms, so that's two residents per room.
Lori Pomelo is the administrator for Russell Park Rehabilitation and Living Center in Lewiston. It's a 103-bed facility that provides skilled nursing, long-term, and residential care.
70% of our residents that live here, 70% of the 103 residents are paid for by the Medicaid program.
Medicaid is the primary payer for long-term care in the U.S., but Pomelo says the program's current reimbursements don't match the cost of care. She doesn't see how capping program spending will meet future needs as Maine's population ages and nursing home residents arrive much sicker now than in the past.
I mean, the state of Maine has already had some nursing facilities that closed because the rates of reimbursement from the MaineCare or Medicaid program, they didn't get the money that they needed to match what they were actually spending. And the reality of it is there is not even enough nursing home beds in the state right now to meet all of the need that's out there.
I am absolutely confident that we can apply fiscal discipline to effectively manage the program to better meet the needs of those on the program.
Maine Department of Health and Human Services Commissioner Mary Mayhew says she supports converting Medicaid into a block grant program in particular because it gives states more flexibility in how to spend Medicaid dollars.
In the last few years, it has taken years to get requests approved through the federal government that have allowed us to advance innovative models of care.
And Mayhew says Medicaid would still have performance requirements to ensure accountability. A spokesman for Republican Representative Bruce Poliquin said in a written statement that the congressman also supports giving states more flexibility while protecting individuals with disabilities and the elderly. But Deborah Klein says even under the current system, where federal spending is open-ended, her son's care hasn't been protected. When he turned 21, the state determined that instead of Evan needing 24 hours of care a day, he only needed four.
What it would really mean is his caregiver, me, would be functioning on 4 hours of sleep every day and having to assess his seizures, assess him medically, and administer medications in the right proportions, the right doses. That's dangerous.
Klain fought the state in Superior Court and won. Since then, she says, the state has tried two more times to reduce Evan's care. If Congress decides to change Medicaid so states get a fixed amount of money, she expects the battle for Evan's care will continue. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.